No. I haven't seen him at all. I wonder.
Yeah.
I noticed Danny's camper by his house.
Yeah.
It got broken into. He and he would be Ron Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
He was Ron Jenkins. We grew up together.
Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Call the meeting, Cali County Commission meeting together. Call to order. Karen?
Chairman Bob Bailey.
Here.
Vice Chairman Lane.
Here.
Commissioner Allen.
Here.
Invocation. Everybody bow their heads, please. Dear Lord, please help us with all the decisions of the budget hearing tonight. Anything comes up, please help us make the right decisions for the people that we take care of. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Minutes of August 13th, 2019, regular Cali County Commission meeting.
Saw nothing and would move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of last through that August 13th meeting. All said. In favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Citizens be heard. Anybody here for anything other than budget? Okay, moving on. Public hearing on proposed budget 2020. I declare the public meeting open. Anyone who would like to address the county commission on this matter may do so at this time. Anyone who would like to address the commission on any other matter than the 2020 budget for the county will need to wait until the citizen be heard portion of the meeting. Before you begin, please state your name and address for the official record. Anybody here for the public meeting?
I second that.
Seeing none?
I would move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Been moved to close the public hearing. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Item of business. Consider approval of fiscal year 2020 county budget. Lucas?
Mr. Chairman, this is the same budget that was presented to you a few weeks ago. You guys wanted no more than a 2 mil increase. We were spot on that 2 mil increase.
Anybody got any questions?
I don't, Mr. Chairman.
Move to approve fiscal year 2020 county budget as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Accept the county budget for 2020. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Consider approval of fiscal year 2020 pay plan. Lucas?
Mr. Chairman, I provided you guys, when we were talking about the budget, I provided you a copy of what we had, which was merit-based. You folks decided that that really wasn't the way you wanted to go forward, and you wanted to kind of stay in the idea of a step-based environment. So we made some adjustments to this policy that would take out the obligation of merit pay, and we put in place a step and grade pay. What that means is when you guys decide that you want to budget in an increase of a step increase, this pay plan has 20 steps in each grade. Each one of those are 2.5% of an increase. In no way is it obligating you to do that, but if you guys choose to do that, this would be the method we would do. I spoke with the department heads at the last department head meeting and got some insight of their thoughts. And the one thing that, as I did a little more research, the one thing I wanted to clarify is we're going to treat this as a step increase, which means that it will happen once a year at the same time. It won't be based off of a position date or an anniversary date because it's not based off of merit. So we're not looking at a sequential evaluation period. So if you guys choose to provide it, which we did provide in the budget to do so, we would do it in the first period of the year. We could do it at any time, but traditionally it's done in the first full pay period or first period of the year. So my suggestion would be, if that's the way you guys want to pursue, if you decide to pass this policy, the increase, the step increase of the employees will be eligible for will happen in the first full pay period of 2020.
Okay. So you're not going to have the step increase in December, and then January 1, you get it? You're going to do it in the first pay period of January?
Right. So traditionally, and Karen could talk into more detail about this, but traditionally, the way that it rolls, part of the 2019 gets paid out of the first pay period mm-hmm. funding of 2020 because of the sequential pay times. What I'm saying is the first full pay period that happens in the 2020 calendar year and fiscal year will be when it's presented.
Any questions? Nope. Move to approve fiscal year 2020 pay plan as presented.
Second.
Move and second for the pay plan as presented. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Consider approval of courthouse heating and air controls. Lucas?
Mr. Chairman, I've asked Todd with Five Star to join us tonight. If you don't mind, I'd ask him to come up. He has been, not Five Star, he's with, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Five Star Mechanical, he is the one who did the installation for our chiller controls, our overall controls. So that controls the chiller and the boiler and that. This next step, what we talked about when we originally talked about it, is facility controls on the HVAC units that are blowing, air handlers that are blowing air through the building, to be able to control those on and on with thermostats and go away from the majority of our facility being the old pneumatic system, and these will be electronic. The bid strategy that ICE, which was Chris Selly, the engineer who originally proposed this to you, put this step in the process around $75,000. We're relatively close to that. And so the funding that we would use to fund this would be the remaining amount of the bond surplus that we have that we can use in this capacity. The same money that we use for that chiller.
How much is left in there?
I'm not off the top of my head, around $300,000, I believe. So the final piece that we're looking at would be the final facility security, which would most likely finish up those dollars.
So this installation of the digital controls, you're going to have more precise control like in each room?
Yeah, you gain a few things. One would be, yes, much more precise control in each room. A lot of the older pneumatic stuff, it can drift quite a bit. Atmosphere, heat, cool, those type of temperatures can cause that to vary. The biggest thing you're going to gain is that on-off control. Right now, you don't really have a way to schedule things. So at night, things are still kind of running. So the biggest thing you're going to gain is that ability to, we call setback. So you can push those rooms off if you want to, or at least set that temperature back if need be in the evenings. Allows easy scheduling, things like courtrooms, stuff like that, that are used a few hours a day, if not a few hours a week. We can get those things turned off so you're not wasting that energy. And then the preciseness just is comfort. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to is comfort factor inside the building. I think would exponentially go up. Okay.
So right now the solution that we have is we're still flipping literally light switches that control the blower. So if somebody's cool and they want to be warmer, they shut the blower off or vice versa. So plus it'll also give us some opportunities maybe to be more efficient in our system and save some electricity.
Be able to get rid of those air compressors and
some of them, yeah.
Yeah, so one of our big hurdles is all of the perimeter heat, all of the radiators. Trying to get those valves replaced could be pretty cost prohibitive. It's something I'd like to look at, but if we can reduce down to at least that, my understanding is you have three air compressors, maybe we pull one of those out, use one as a backup, one, because at that point I would believe you would only need one, period. But I think it would save an awful lot on maintenance. And then, yeah, let's look at possibly getting those valves out and getting those controlled electronically also.
So this isn't including the heating controls, it's just the air conditioning?
It's basically everything except for those radiators, except for that out kind of this outside set of radiators around the building. Yeah.
So I worked with KDK on the remaining balance because one of the concerns that I have is the compressors that we currently have are not to safety code. Under our maintenance contract, he can replace the remaining compressors to be more modern compressors up to safety code. So what is left will be modern and won't be older, so it should be more efficient, safer, cleaner.
And we can narrow down that pricing. I mean, I can have a mechanical, some either our mechanical, or I know you guys have either KDK or the folks that did the boilers and chillers. I mean, you have two good mechanical companies that could probably come in with me and say, hey, we're going to yank these valves. That's the me getting a wire to it, controlling it, is not a big deal. It's that physical labor of getting that valve out and the valve in that's going to be probably the nightmare. But yeah, we could definitely work with them and narrow down what we think that would cost. At that point, you would eliminate those air compressors. Yeah.
Okay. One question, please? I'm going to approve a contract with Five Star Mechanical Incorporated for the installation of digital controls for chiller and boiler systems in the courthouse.
Second.
And moving second, everybody in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passed. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Thank you.
Consider approval of community corrections, fiscal year 20, carryover reimbursement budget. Mary?
Hello.
Hello.
Each year, we hope to each year have some carryover funds in our budget, and we have the last several years. Each year the state requires us to document exactly how much or how many funds we are carrying over from this current fiscal year, because we run on a state fiscal year beginning July 1, running through June 30th. So as of July 1, we have carryover funds in the amount of $72,409.37. That is money that is the county's. They cannot take it back. But we have to show them how we're going to budget or how we're going to use that money going forward. Since the majority of our bills are salary and benefits, that's what we reflected it going towards. We specifically earmarked it for individuals that may qualify for some of that sick time payout at the end of the calendar year, and or if someone were to retire. Obviously, if someone were to retire from our office, they have accumulated vacation and sick time, and we need to pay for that. So it's kind of earmarked for that, but obviously it is still up to the county as to how it is spent. We just have to reflect to them how we intend to spend. So that's what this is. I took it in front of our advisory board last week. They signed off on it, and so my next step was presenting it to all of you to see if you were comfortable with how we have outlined those monies.
Any questions?
I would move to approve the FY20 carryover reimbursement budget as presented.
Second. Move and second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
Can I have your signature?
No,
it costs you
$20. Add it to my tab.
But the insurance companies, every time they want you to sign up, for you want them to sign a piece of paper for our insurance, they want $20 to sign it. It don't make sense to me. You don't save that kind of money. That's just my little point in there. Maybe I go to the wrong people.
Those are for the next meeting. Karen.
I'm sorry, what?
Those are for the next meeting.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Oh, now I have a
question. Okay, consider number five, consider approval of document imaging systems for the appraiser's office. Lori?
No.
What? Worked so hard on this project.
We got a bridge, but
it's hard.
Okay.
So First, I know you guys have heard me talk about this before because I think I've mentioned it just about every time I've come in here and given an update. We've been working on it for a really long time, probably at least a year. I've worked very closely with MIS, and Penny and Mark have been really helpful to me on the technical side of this project. So first, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about the benefits of having a document imaging system. It will basically replace our paper filing system, so it will free up a significant amount of space that we're currently using for paper document filing. When we started this project, we estimated around $40,000 or 40,000 pages per year are generated just for real property, and that's not including personal property and all the other things that we do. So we generate a lot of paper. And this is a much better way to manage the paper. It also has auto-indexing features. They've made a lot of advancements in this type of software over the last several years, where a lot of our documents can be set up as templates, where all the same information is in the same place on each page, so the parcel ID, things that we would want to look it up by. So that process has been automated. We have a lot of documents that would fall into that category. It also helps eliminate some of the human error of manual indexing, which is when I first started working with a document system, that's how it worked. We can also import documents, so when we run our annual value notice file, we can actually import those and auto-index those into the system, so that will be a lot more efficient. It also has optical character recognition, so documents that you want to search for by a keyword, you can just, all every word on the document is cataloged, for lack of a better word, so that you can access anytime you talk about a specific thing, if it's recorded on the document. That's also advanced quite a lot over recent years. It will allow for instant access to documents. The documents will be secure, and you can set varying security levels based on what kind of document type it is, if you have documents that need to be protected. One of the most important things to me when I first started working on this project was to make sure that whatever I did was scalable, so that if what I'm doing, other departments see and like the way it functions, that they would be able to kind of sign on to this. And so I have always kept that at the forefront, and so this that I'm recommending today could be built on by other departments. I know that Linda at CDBO has expressed some interest in it because they have a lot of secure documents, and so she's expressed some interest in it. So we started by identifying basically six properties. Mark Props from MIS helped me identify the products that would meet our needs, and we did general demos on all of their products just to kind of see how their products worked. And then we followed up by submitting sample documents and a schematic of how we envisioned this being set up, and then they did some custom demos for us using our documents, so we got to see exactly how it would work. One of the original candidates withdrew because they didn't think their indexing features would be robust enough, and three of the products that we looked at required separate licensing for the capture program and the indexing program, and we really wanted it to be all encompassing in one application. And so we narrowed it down to three. And so the decision primarily from there was based on cost. So my recommendation is to go with the Square 9 Global Search. And the total first year cost, with all the hardware and implementation and training and all the setup and everything, is about $28,518, which is a little bit lower than, a little bit higher than the M-Files, but when you look at it over 5 years and the annual subscription and maintenance costs, it ends up being substantially less over 5 years with Global Search. So I request that approval to purchase the Square 9's Global Search Document Imaging System and the supporting hardware.
Okay, so all these figures, $7,690 and all that, adds up. But then when we come down to the scanner for $925 for the Optiplex 3060 laptop,
$925 for the laptop.
And that's going to come out of special equipment funds?
The whole thing. This the first time cost, but then the annual subscription fee is only $1,538 a year, and that'll just be paid as a normal budget item from this point forward. So we currently have $52,643 in our special equipment fund, so it will come out of that. And with the 2020 budget year, I also started putting $6,000 a year back into the special equipment fund, so that when we need to replace vehicles or laptops or tablets or whatever, we're putting some money back in there.
You got any other questions?
What's the Kodak Alaris scanner?
That's the professional document scanner, because we're going to be scanning all those paper
to
documents.
To make them all digital?
Yeah, it does. It's a duplex color. We'll handle any document that we have. That and the hardware were all they are based on recommendations from the MIS department after they researched it for me. That was their recommendation.
Anything like that, electronics expensive. Tis the times, I guess.
Yeah. Well, same research too. A great deal.
We did. We spent about a year working on this project. It's been a long project.
Yeah. When you're doing 40,000 papers just in property, then you know, be able to scan that, get them into digital form. It's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier to find them. It's a lot easier to secure them if you need to secure them. You can set up different, you know, security for different levels of staff, and we could even set up. What I think would be really cool is if we could set up a public terminal at some point where the fee appraisers and people like that who come and look at our sales book could look at them online. I think it would be better for them too. But that's another project.
You could project flow.
Yeah, okay. I can do that.
Okay. Move to approve purchase price not to exceed $7,690 for licensing, $7,938 for setup and installation. One-time hardware cost include $8,533 for virtual server to house the application, $3,433 for a Kodak Polaris scanner, and $925 for an Optiplex 3060 laptop, with the initial purchase being paid out of special equipment funds. With an annual subscription fee of $1,538 will be paid as a normal budget item.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
Thank you very much.
Thank
when
you.
When we get all in and installed, you have to come over so I can show you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Approval of payment register for period of August 20th, 2019 for checks numbered 181-242 through 181-291, totaling $329,382.20, wires totaling $9,157.51, and direct deposits totaling $11,857.11, payroll totaling $259,344.99, hand checks numbered 812-692 through 812-702, totaling $33,035.46, and check number 701753, totaling $544.10. Anybody see anything different?
No.
I move to approve payment of claims as presented.
Second to motion.
Then move to second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed. Abatement request presented by Karen, Holly County Clerk.
Move to approve and endorse the correction orders as presented.
Second.
Then move. Endorse the correction orders as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed. Other items come before the board in Cali County. Karen?
I just have one that makes us know if we're doing taxes for somebody who
the other items are just the actual certificate page for the budget, so I can send it.
With a couple of supporting budget pages too.
Into the state, and then the extension, conservation district, Judge St. Peter, they all have to send approval into the state.
I believe we'll have a couple more of those come through. Those are just the ones we could get tonight. Most of your appropriations will ask for a letter. Some I can do on your behalf, since you passed it. Others need to have signed by you all.
I kind of think he's the only one that signed all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the top. There you go.
That's it.
That's it. Anything else? Mark?
Quickly, this last meeting. With the sheriff's contract, I had some concerns about that. Worked with the sheriff, we got those resolved all as well.
Everything good? Good. Lucas?
I got stuff. At your request, Mr. Chairman, you wanted some clarity on what was done in the way of FEMA for the county. And so if you'll look in your Dropbox, there's two files in your Dropbox. One is going to be called DDR 4449 FEMA disaster timeline.
Underwater special admin?
No, just in your packet for this meeting. I just dropped them in there.
Oh.
And there'll also be a copy of grant manager damage import template. Those two files are in there. They're both PDFs. I wanted to quickly just go through, because there's been some concerns that Cali County has not presented requests for funding through FEMA, and I just wanted to clarify that that is inaccurate and kind of go through your timeline. So the declaration period that's been presented from FEMA is from April 28th to July 12th. On May 8th is when we had the first declaration for Cali County, and Mr. Chairman, you would recall a call that I made to you early morning requesting approval to do that.
Yep.
We did do that. When we do that declaration, what it does is it tells the state that we have met our financial threshold for Cali County as a whole, and we're asking for the state to respect that we have a disaster. There's a threshold that we have to have, and that threshold is $3.78 per capita, which equates to, based off census, $137,255.58. We met that on May 8th, we did a declaration, we sent it to the state. The state then declared on May 10th the disaster for the state. May 20th, they began to collect data for the May 8th flood, and we were lucky enough to have another flood after that. So then on May 21st, once again I called you, Mr. Chairman, and we went ahead and declared a second disaster. On May 21st. June 4th, the county contacted KDAMS to add to our original data set from May 20th a minimum low number of $600,000 for the approach of the East Chestnut Bridge. I want to clarify, when we originally collected the data on May 20th, we were repairing, or excuse me, yeah, no, May 20th. We were repairing the original approach from the first flood, and we had about $12,600 in that repair. So at that time, we didn't have the data, knowing that we would need $600,000 to $800,000, because that impact happened more in the second flood than the first. So on May 21st, the day after the floods started, we went ahead and added another request for at least $600,000 in support. On June 5th, the day after, KDEMS, which is Kansas Department of Emergency Management, who's managing this project for FEMA at this point, responded back that we were already qualified, we hit our per capita number, don't send us any more, you're already in the loop, okay? Then on June 10th, the governor requested for a major presidential declaration for public assistance. June 20th, FEMA approved the request from the governor. June 25th, KDEMS hosted an application briefing. This is a meeting I attended on behalf of the county along with John Jordan on behalf of Public Works at the public library that KDEMS came down and said, this is a briefing. All the townships, all the cities, anybody who had enough to be in there. I think even the sheriff was there on regards to some claims that he had. We were all there to represent the county. This is when we went ahead and processed our application for public assistance. Right now, the information that I'm getting from KDEMS, there's 70 counties in Kansas that have been impacted out of the 105 on this. We are, the Excel spreadsheet copy of Grant Manager is an export from the FEMA site that I exported of the data we've entered in request for assistance. I'd be more than happy to show anybody the access to the FEMA site. We have 23 claims that we're currently having, including the flood of our south annex during an active storm. Mm-hmm. So that's $65,000. The vast majority of that will come out of our insurance first, but we will continue to have to pay our deductible, which we can turn in for public assistance once we do that. I know the sheriff had some vehicle damage. I know we had some other vehicle damage in other shops. Those will be in addition to that. The minimum claim amount is $3,000. So we're putting the vast majority of our facility and auto together under one.
So by what's your time frame, you think, from, you know, back here in June, when we officially done everything, what's your time frame, you think, on FEMA?
So in that meeting, in the applicant briefing, they said, hey, just so you know, we're not even started on this. We have two disasters in Kansas that are still happening from last year. We haven't even started our October of 2018. So fix it if you got the money. Hang tight if you don't.
So we can see anywhere up to 2 years from now before we'd ever even really know.
Incident field. Period, so here's some information. Incident period of 9-1 of 18 through 9-8 of 18 was declaration DR-4403. We weren't included, 8 counties were provided, has not been resolved yet. That was 9-1 of 18. 10-4 of 18 to 10-15 of 18, declaration DR-4417, we were included, 14 counties haven't been resolved yet. Excuse me?
I think Beaver Township said they finally got some, like maybe in July. I don't know if they got everything, but they got some.
From a year ago or from this year?
From the October one last year.
So we haven't received anything back from that. There's another one of 3-12 of 19 through 4-2 of 19. We were not in part of that. We didn't meet the criteria, but they're still processing it. And then finally, this one, DR-4449, has 70 counties. So it's a wait game. It could be end of this year, it could be first of next year. When I log into the FEMA portal, which is the way they communicate with us, we wait for a notification from the FEMA portal that states to us, I'm gonna read it verbatim. It states us, so we have went ahead and put our profile information, our application of events. I've put up our private insurance, so our facility, liability, casualty insurance, because they care about that. Everything that we do have to go through insurance, then they help after. So the reassurance. We wait for an explorationary call, which when you look at it, it says no record found, contact will come as soon as available. We still have not been assigned to a relations representative. I'm pulling up what they call those people. PDMGs. So we haven't even been signed a liaison through KDEMS or FEMA at this point. But I just want to clearly tell the board that my staff, including myself, have applied. They have turned all the data in appropriately in a timely manner, and this is where we're at. Now, if we had the last update on the SET process was a pending PDMG assignment as of August 12th of 2019 at 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we are waiting. If you look at the Excel report that you gave, that I gave you all, it does show the processes and the projects that we have completed with local levy dollars in hopes to get refunded. Some of those we didn't process yet because we don't have that kind of levy dollars to complete. The other thing I wanted to clarify, a lot of folks are having a misunderstanding that these FEMA dollars can be placed towards repair or replacement of the bridge. That's inaccurate. The FEMA dollars would be to repair the damage from the flood of the approach of the bridge.
Yes.
Okay, so
it would be a dime toward the bridge.
They won't do anything with the bridge. And there's no guarantee they'll do anything with the approach either. So yeah. I know a lot of folks are like, well, just go fix it, they're gonna pay you. I can't guarantee that.
It doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen. Even if they did, it's a 75% match. So there is funding allocations. Now you spoke to MKC as your engineers at the last meeting, and at no place have I taken our running out of the application, but your engineers directed you that it would not be a viable, financially viable option to repair the approach. So I don't know if that created confusion to folks or not, but we have put our applications in. We are waiting for a PDMG. The data is there. You have the list. There's 23 locations. And you'll see which ones have been done and how much we've spent and which ones haven't been done.
The night we saw those photographs and all that stuff you did with that lady on the bridge, at the end of that meeting, what did we do? We stopped the application of something.
You stopped the USDA application for the river weirs. That's what you guys chose to stop.
That was $100,000.
Yeah.
If matching funds. Yeah. Our matching.
That's yes, our matching funds.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's what we stopped.
And if we started that, we'd end up having to spend it.
I mean, yeah.
So we did stop that. The odds were, and I'm not saying we would have won it or not, but there's already 37 counties that are already in front of us on that. So I don't know what our chances were. But
well, I have complete faith in you, Lucas. Anybody calls me, I'm going to set them straight. So.
Well, I wanted to make sure you guys had a clear understanding because it's important to a lot of the folks, and they apparently don't have faith right now that we're doing what we can do for them. And we have done what we can do for them at this point. The only other item that I would share, and like I said, I welcome, this is all public record. Anybody asked for it, I'm willing to share it. Just want to give you an update, though, on the South Annex. We did get approval through our insurance for approximately $65,000 worth of damage in the South Annex. So we will have a deductible that we'll have to match, which we'll present to FEMA at the time. My hope is what we're looking at right now is tentatively a repair of the South Annex on 6/19 of 2 weeks. So I'm going to have to relocate half the basement, and they'll have construction stuff set up in the South Annex. What they're ending up, what they'll have to do is
drywall and all that stuff.
Rip all the drywall out, all the carpet out, all the tile up, put new drywall in, new insulation in.
So it doesn't get moldy.
That's right. Yeah, so then they're not gonna rip the whole thing up the wall. They're finding that they can cut it the midway 4 foot where they can use a 4x8 sheet at the base. feather that back in, finish it, paint it. They're saying they can get carpet, walls, paint, everything done in 2 weeks. So I think that's a lot of work because it's 3/4 of the basement.
So what are you going to move them guys in the other room?
Right now I can't move them there because dispatch is a secure facility and they're not secure employees. So most likely I'll relocate EOC either to their you've seen their little trailer at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. I put a 50 amp RV outlet in the north annex on the pole. And so most likely I'm going to stick them for their exercise area in their trailer in the north annex. And then I'm going to office them probably in the courthouse. So it's not going to be really comfortable for them for 2 weeks, but they'll be able to get their work done and they'll be out of the way. They'll basically curtain off half the building in the basement. I'm wanting to make sure we don't impact business on the top 2 floors based on noise or dirt or stuff like that. So that's my biggest concern. But we are very aggressively working through all the FEMA stuff. But I did want to clarify, FEMA will not pay anything towards replacement of the bridge. It's for repair, if they choose to, of the approach.
Well, I appreciate all your time and the research you've done on that.
Yeah. The other thing, the email that I sent out today for you folks to have access to district map, a lot of your constituents are questioning who are their who's their elected official, especially in that area. So there's two maps as well as a link to an active interactive map. You can scroll right down and search for somebody's address. And if I tell you I'm 8 Crestwood Drive, you'll find out that I'm Mr. Groom's problem.
I don't care. I got big shoulders.
So?
I'm not scared.
That's all I have.
Appreciate it. Anybody got anything else?
I have a question. On parcel search?
Yes, sir.
Who puts the information in after property changes hands?
So that the deeds go to the deed then processes over and then goes to MIS GIS and they process that, then goes to the appraiser and the clerk. So it depends on what part of it, but everybody's got a hand in it.
Okay.
Ownership information.
Jared, for the most part, updates the information that feeds into that comes from Orion, and Orion is the name and address part updated by GIS.
Okay. I had some property that changed hands. Work was going to be done on the property. The deed had everything they needed. It was approved and all done. The city looked on the parcel search and said, well, they don't own that property. Mm. These people.
Usually it's within, honestly, if the deed doesn't have an issue. Or
within a business
it's
day.
Within a day. Maybe
yeah.
Well, this has been since 19th.
But how often do, I don't know how often they update the
GIS.
The actual,
well,
if they do
the tax search and parcel search is updated every night, Monday through Friday through CIC. They pull it down. But traditionally, I mean, are you aware of the situation?
I was going to ask you, did it actually have the transfer stamp on the bottom of it?
Yeah,
okay.
I came, my property.
Right.
I came to talk to Karen.
Uh-huh.
And she gave it to me. I took it to the city, and they gave us a building permit.
Uh-huh.
Well,
but wasn't there an issue? I thought at some point they were pulling from.
Well, they were
working.
Yeah, they're working from. They were working out this morning. They were showing 20 stuff, but it was 19 stuff and back and forth in the wrong places. So that might have been your problem. If you, after the meeting, if you want to give me the address information, I'll
can't
make
think it. Of the address out on Starlight Court. Not Starlight.
If you email it, we'll find
yeah.
out.
Okay, I can
we'll take care of
it
for you. Yeah, sure. She'll take care of it.
Yeah. Excellent.
So who is that? The bridge right there.
That's the bridge.
So I'm not even in that part on the bridge.
This is Bob.
Come together, right?
But these people are the ones that are voicing concern. So this is where I grew up. That's 8 Crestwood right there.
It just
No.
I've got the
And so these people are you. They're going to vote for you. They're going to make the decision. And they're going with what Bob's saying, because they're going to them, but they're not technically there.
I just think because I'm down there, I'm a representative.
Oh, I see the river now. Coach had it all jacked up.
That's okay. I'll get you back if you have problems.
I don't care. I am scared. Any other items, anybody? Move to adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Move to second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Can't see lunch without John.
You will.